Father, we just thank you for today. Thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for the salvation we have in Christ. Thank you for the hope we have. Thank you for everything, Lord. Thank you for the churches you have given us. Thank you for the families you have given us. Thank you for the resources you have given us. We just want to thank you, Father. Now, Father, I thank you for the opportunity you have given us to hear from you once again, O Lord. I pray, Father, today there would be only one speaker. You, Lord. And we all would sit at your feet. We would be still and hear your voice. What you have to teach us. Speak to us, Father. We just commit ourselves into thy hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor, your microphone has to be good because they are listening to you. Today is 4th of December. That means 3 weeks to Christmas. 3 weeks. You know, the ones who are most excited about Christmas are children. Children are very, very excited about Christmas. Because for children, Christmas means decorations and gifts. And they get very, very excited. And I know all the children in our homes are waiting for Christmas. So this morning, the title of my message is Waiting for Christmas. See, in various churches, churches will be planning Christmas programs. And you will have songs and drama, all kind of functions. But you will see rarely ever in any Christmas function two characters. We'll have Joseph. We'll have Mary. We'll have the baby. We'll have the shepherds. We'll have the wise men. We'll have all these people. We will even have donkeys and cows. But connected with the coming of Jesus and the first weeks of Jesus, we even have the wise men who came practically 2 years later. They didn't come in the beginning. The ones who came in the beginning are the shepherds. They come to the manger. The wise men come to a house. The shepherds see a baby. The wise men see a child. Get this very clear, pastors. Don't ever teach mistakes. That's why Herod kills all the children under the age of 2. But there are 2 other people who never come in our Christmas plays or songs or dramas. Only two people mentioned over there who were actually waiting for Jesus. Two people. We know them. As pastors, we know them. One is Simeon. The other is a woman called Anna. Two old people. They actually both were waiting for Jesus Christ. Let's turn to the Gospel of Luke and see what the Bible says about these two. Luke chapter 2. We'll read verse 25. Yes. Yes. Yes, that's enough.
Sure.
There was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon. Two things are mentioned about him. Scripture says he was righteous. He was devout. And then scripture says he was waiting. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. There was one man in Israel who was waiting. And then in verse 36 to 38, yeah,
ఉపవాస ప్రార్థనలతో సేవ చేయించుడెను. ఆమె కూడా ఆ గడియలోనే లోపలికి వచ్చి దేవుని కొనియాడి యెరూషలేములో విమోచన కొరకు కనిపెట్టుచున్న వారందరితో ఆయన గురించి మాట్లాడుచుండెను.
So we know she was looking forward to the redemption of Israel. Two people. One is waiting for the consolation of Israel. The other is waiting for the redemption of Israel. Both were devout. Both were righteous. And to them alone, the Holy Spirit revealed the Messiah when he came. What were they waiting for? What are we waiting for? Because when the Messiah came to his temple, when he came to his temple, the first time, only two did the Holy Spirit reveal his coming. We are waiting for a day when the Messiah will come to his temple. The church is called to be his temple. He is coming back for his church. So we learn from these patterns to see to whom will the Spirit of God reveal the second coming of Jesus Christ. Because 8 times, if I am right or more, in the book of Revelation, scripture says, all those who have ears, let them hear what the Holy Spirit says. So we will see in this case, to both of them, it was the Spirit of God that moved them to the Messiah. It was the Holy Spirit that revealed to two people, this is the Messiah. Because if the Spirit of God doesn't reveal, we will not recognize the Messiah. We know from the Bible, after Jesus rose again, Jesus is standing right there in the garden. Mary Magdalene looks right at him. She cannot recognize him until he reveals himself to her. On the road to Emmaus, the two disciples are walking. They are talking about Jesus. Jesus is walking with them. But scripture says, their eyes were restrained from him, them recognizing him. Unless the Spirit of God opens our eyes, we will not recognize the Messiah, even if he's there in our midst. The book of Malachi, the prophet Malachi, the last book of the Bible, had prophesied the king will suddenly come into his temple. 40 days after he is born, the king has come into his temple. Nobody recognized him. Nobody recognized him. Because to recognize Christ, we need the Spirit to open our eyes. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 16, we all know 17. I think it's first or second. Second? We do not want to know Jesus in the flesh. 2 Corinthians
5:16.
We don't want to know anybody in the flesh. We don't even want to know Christ in the flesh. That is what this apostle says. And many of us still think about Christ in the flesh. It's all very emotional. John the apostle had known Christ in the flesh. He loved him. Jesus loved him. He was the one whom Jesus had lent, was leaning on the Last Supper. But on the island of Patmos, when he saw Jesus, it was not in the flesh. And his reaction also was not in the flesh. If he had reacted in the flesh, when he saw Jesus, he would have hugged him. He would have said, "Yeah, I was waiting for you." That's not what scripture writes. Scripture writes the disciple who was closest to Jesus fell at his feet like one dead. We don't want to know anybody in the flesh. We don't want to know Christ in the flesh. We need to know Christ in the Spirit. And to know Christ in the Spirit, only the Holy Spirit can reveal him. And scripture says, the first one to whom Christ was revealed, there in the Bible, is Simeon. It is to Simeon. To Simeon Christ is revealed. Not even to the parents. The parents had many visitations. But scripture says, whenever people talked about Jesus, they marveled. When even Simeon prophesies over Jesus, Mary marveled. Because they're still knowing their baby in the flesh. And not knowing him as the Messiah in the Spirit. So the first person in scripture, we see the revelation of Jesus in the Spirit is Simeon. Simeon was righteous. First thing, Simeon was righteous. Simeon was devoted. These two things. We have people who are righteous, but who are not devoted. We have people who are devoted. They will never miss church. They will never miss fellowship. They will never miss communion. They will never miss prayer. They may not be righteous. There are others who are very righteous, but they are committed to nothing. Simeon was righteous and he was committed. He was devoted. But that's not the key. What was he waiting for? What are we waiting for? Scripture says in verse 25, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for the consolation. Are we waiting for consolation? Look at the word scripture uses. When do we go to console somebody? When do we go to only when somebody is grieving. Somebody in our churches die, we as pastors will always go. We go there to console them. Because they are grieving. They are mourning. We go there to console them. Simeon is waiting for the consolation of Israel. Only those who grieve need consolation. The second blessing Jesus pronounced on the Sermon on the Mount: blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be consoled. They shall be consoled. Blessed, they shall be comforted. There are two kinds of consolation. Two kinds. Let's look into scripture. When Jesus begins his ministry 30 years later, when he comes to Nazareth, he will open the scroll of Isaiah and he will read from Isaiah 60 verses 1 and 2. Shall we read? Yeah, sorry, 61 verses 1 and 2. Isaiah 61 verse 1 and 2. Verse 1 and 2. Loudly, Pastor. Loudly. The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Spirit of God has anointed me to heal the brokenhearted. Comfort. But we only read 1 and 2. But if I'm right, the first 9 verses are about the Messiah. Let's read verse 3. Those who grieve in Zion. Who are those who grieve in Zion? What does scripture say? To comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who grieve in Zion. Why would you grieve in Zion? Because we always think about only joy in Zion. But through scripture, we will see his prophets grieving over Zion. Grieving over Zion. And God watches his servants who are grieving over Zion. In the Old Testament, the New Covenant, Zion is the church. God looks for those servants who are grieving over the state of the church. Look at Ezekiel chapter 9 and verse 4. Yes, God enters into Jerusalem, into Zion. He is entering into Zion. God is entering into Zion. And he said there are lots of people in Zion. But mark certain people. Put a mark on their forehead. Those who grieve and lament over the sin of Zion. Even today, in Hyderabad, God visits his people. Scripture is very clear. When you read the first three chapters of Revelation, Jesus visits churches. Jesus visits his servants. And he looks for those servants who are grieving over the sin in Zion. Those who grieve over Zion. If you turn with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 and 23. Did you see Zion is Sangam? Did you see? Come to Zion. Come to the church of the firstborn. In the new covenant, we are called to be Zion. And there are a lot of detestable things happening in Zion. We are the church of the firstborn. And God is looking for those who are grieving. Only those who grieve need consolation. Those who don't grieve, they don't need consolation. If there is somebody in our church who is grieving, we will put them first in the list to visit. The one who has no problems is always happy if you visit them. It's only because you are expecting an offering. Otherwise you will not visit them. You will say, you don't need me. That one is grieving. That one is grieving. My church, including yesterday, when I preach, I look at the faces of people. And I see sometimes people crying. And after service, they are the first one I meet. I may not have time to talk, but I will always go them and see. You are comforted. I saw you. I saw you. And our God sees those who grieve. Grieving over their own sins. Grieving over the other sins. Because he is coming back for a spotless, blameless bride. And when he comes, if we are not that, we will not be taken. We will not be taken. And there is going to be a lot of trouble for those who are left. Lot of trouble. That's why Jesus, standing there before the grave of Lazarus, till that day, that is going to be his greatest miracle, where he's going to declare he is the resurrection. Scripture says, after that, the Pharisees wanted to kill Jesus and they wanted to kill Lazarus. Because once you have raised a man who's dead for 4 days, who's been buried for 4 days, how do you question his ministry? That was going to be his greatest day. But scripture says, he wept. event. Why would you weep before your greatest event? Why is he grieving? Because he knows many, many, many whom he loves won't be part of the resurrection. Lazarus will come out. Then, and in the resurrection, many will not. God, who created all of us, is grieving. Is grieving, knowing this. That is why we see in Scripture about Jesus. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. It is a contradiction. In Hebrews chapter 1, it will be told about Jesus. If you look at chapter 1, verse 9, you loved righteousness, you hated wickedness, therefore, God your God, Ananda Thailam, contradiction. He's anointed more than anybody else with joy, yet he's a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. That should be true of every one of us. We have joy in the Holy Spirit. But we are men who grieve till our last hour, knowing that many will not make it. Every servant of God is a contradiction, who's captivated by the joy of salvation, yet walks in grief, knowing that many of our own sheep may not make it. Maybe some of our own children may not make it. That is the contradiction we live in. And here is some Simeon. His life is that life. He's waiting for the consolation of Israel. What are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? Children are waiting for Christmas. We are not waiting for Christmas. We are waiting for the Lord to come back. But even as we wait for the Lord to come back, it is a contradiction in our life. That's what Paul says. For me, you ask me, I want to go. If I don't go, it's good for you. I can prepare you more. I want to go. When I look up, I want to go. When I look down, I don't want to go. Because I know you are not ready. When I look up, I know I am ready. When I look down, I know you are not ready. So the question is, to go or not to go? To go or not to go? That is a contradiction in which we are caught. That's Simeon. Waiting for the consolation of Israel. That's why the blessings in the new covenant is completely different from the blessings of the old covenant. Blessed are the poor in the spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Mourning over our own sin. If I don't mourn over my sin, I don't receive the comfort of God. David sinned like no man. Like no man. Like no man. Lied. Cheated. Deceived. Took another man's wife. Killed her husband. Lied about it all. Every law in the book he broke. But he grieved. He grieved. Scripture will record. My pillow is wet from my tears. My bones are wasting within me. He's the man who grieved and mourned over his sin. Therefore God sends a prophet to him. You are that man. I am that man. I have removed your sin from you. Those who mourn will be comforted. They will be comforted. Many other people said, I have sinned. With just words. They never grieved over their sins. Balaam did not grieve over his sin. Pharaoh did not grieve over his sin. Saul did not grieve over his sin. These are all people in the Bible who said, I have sinned. None of them God spoke through his servant and said, your sin is removed. Only to David. Why? Because he grieved over his sin. And Christ is the consolation of those who grieve. So there is two grief. We grieve over our personal shortcomings. And we grieve over the shortcoming of others. And those are the ones who are waiting for Jesus. There is an attitude in waiting. Simeon was waiting for Jesus. And he could know it from his heart. He was a man of grief. And he grieved over the sin of Israel. And God gave him a word. I see your heart. You will not die until you have seen the consolation of Israel. You will not die. I see your heart. You will see the consolation of Israel. Scripture says, that day, the Spirit of God came to him. It didn't speak to the high priest. It didn't speak to any of the priests. It didn't speak to any of the Levites. It didn't speak to any of the people there. To one man. Messiah has come. That's the one you've been waiting for. And he will lift up the baby. And he will say, mine eyes have seen the redemption of Israel. Let me go now, O Lord. What are we waiting for? For the Christmas tree? The Christmas bells? The Christmas gifts? Or the Christmas khana? What are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? Are we waiting for the consolation of Zion? There are people grieving around the world. Country after country. Christians being killed day and night. They are crying out to the Lord. Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. Do we grieve with them? We are free. They are not free. So do we take our freedom for granted? Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 3. Scripture says, we are free. They are in prison. God says, in the spirit you are bound with them. Because the body of Christ is spiritual. You can hang a bell. Though it doesn't mean anything, people will look and say, ah, Christmas. You can hang a star. In Korea. In Iran. In Afghanistan. In Pakistan. In Iraq. In Saudi. If you hang a star. You are dead. You are dead. They are in prison. We are free. But we grieve with them. Because they don't have the freedom. When we grieve with them honestly in the spirit, God will do a miracle. Their grief becomes our portion. Our joy becomes their portion. God does the transference. He puts their grief upon us. He puts our joy upon them. So here we are free. And in the spirit we are grieving. There they are bound. And they are rejoicing. They are rejoicing. Because the body of Christ is one. It's a spiritual body. It's a spiritual body. So this morning, we ask ourselves, Simeon was waiting. And God revealed himself to him. How was he waiting? What was he waiting for? What are we waiting for? How are we waiting for? That's the question. Because we need to be moved as they were moved. We are moved by our problems. We are not moved by the state of Zion. They're all moved by our problems. Every month after the pastor's conference, you know, this Saturday we'll have the pastor's conference. Many pastors will come and tell me their problems. We all have problems. We are moved by our problems. God is looking for somebody who is moved by Zion. The state of Zion. Doesn't matter how we have reached in life. Nehemiah has reached as high as you can go. Nehemiah has reached there. He's the cupbearer. That means the king trusts him with his life. That's what a cupbearer is. Wine is offered to the king. Every king fears for his life, it will be poisoned. Before the king drinks, Nehemiah drinks. Then he gives to the king. Why? Because the king trusts this man with his life. That's how high he has risen in Babylon. But he says, when I heard about Jerusalem, I wept, I mourned, I fasted, I prayed. The question is, do we? Does it move us? The state of God's Zion, the state of God's church. If we are not moved, how do we experience the Messiah? Because who is the Messiah? What does the Messiah come for? Messiah is the consolation of Israel. He is the one who comforts those who mourn. He is the one who comforts those who grieve. The one who is sitting in ashes. To them he will give beauty. That's Isaiah 61:3. Beauty for your ashes. That's a spiritual state. There it was physical. But today it is spiritual. We grieve in ashes. And he puts his beauty upon us. This is how we wait for the Messiah. They were waiting for the first coming. We are waiting for the second coming. The second coming is more dreadful than the first coming. The The first coming was to save. That's why when he opened the scroll of Isaiah and he read verse 1 and 2, he did not complete verse 2. He did not complete verse 2. You read the new covenant. See what Jesus read. What is the final part of verse 2? He didn't read that. This is the hour of? He didn't speak that. He didn't read that. In Nazareth, he didn't read that. Because that is connected with his second coming. He didn't read that. So the second coming is more dreadful than the first coming. If the one who was waiting for the first coming was grieving for the consolation of Israel, how much more should we grieve who is waiting for the judgment of God? Even the Messiah himself. Couldn't read that portion. Because that's about his second coming. We need to really get into our prayer closets and ask God, Lord, transfer your spirit to me. Give me the strength to carry your burden. Because this is the reality in which we live. Salvation is a personal choice. We cannot force anybody to receive Jesus. Neither will God force anybody to receive His Son. Therefore, even though we rejoice in our salvation, we walk in grief knowing that many will not make that choice. In our own families, I have two brothers and two sisters. Only one sister in their family has accepted Christ. And I baptize them all. But the other three won't. It's so my own flesh and blood. My mother accepted only when she was in her 80s. My father accepted Christ 2 days before he died. What is the guarantee we have? For another person's salvation. No. No guarantee. God doesn't subvert anybody's will. Therefore, as His shepherds, as His servants, we don't have the heart of Simeon. We haven't understood the heart of our shepherd. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Yet he loved righteousness. And if we love righteousness and we hate wickedness, God says, I will anoint you with joy. It's a two different experiences. One is connected with righteousness. The other is connected with salvation. That's what God is asking. What are we waiting for? That Christmas, to the one whom God showed himself, the Spirit revealed the Messiah. The first man is Simeon. Because Simeon follows a chain of prophets in the Old Testament who grieved. Isaiah grieved. Elijah grieved. Samuel grieved. David grieved. Hosea grieved. It's only because they grieved God could ask them to do many things. Understand this. If God is not asking us to do certain things, it's because we don't grieve. To Ezekiel he said, lie like this on your side for so many days. Why? Because he's a man who is acquainted with grief. So to him, God could ask him to do certain things. So that he himself becomes a picture of God's hand upon Israel. Jose, you go, your wife, who left you, is a prostitute. She has children. Go buy her back. Buy her back. Take her back. Lord, what are you telling me? Do it. Why will you do it? Because he's a man of grief. Therefore, his entire marriage will be a symbol of how God will redeem Israel. Ezekiel, I know you love your wife. What does God call her? The desire of your eyes. The desire of your eyes. She will die tomorrow. She'll die tomorrow. But you will go out and you will preach to your people. No sorrow. No grief. Nothing on your face. Why has God called him to that? Because he's a man who carries the grief of God in his heart. God has many things to tell his servants. But he cannot tell unless we have the heart of his servant, where we carry his grief. Carry his grief. 3.5 years. These disciples followed Jesus. They shared in his ministry. They shared in his provision. They shared in his power. They did not share in his grief. Till the end, they were asking, who can sit here, who can sit there? Even after resurrection, when will your kingdom come? That it will be told you. On the day of Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit came. And he came as fire. And burned all their flesh away. They too became men of grief. Carried the sorrow of the Savior. And they would go to the ends of the earth. Because they had the burden of the Savior. It is to them God reveals himself at a different level. The high priest, the priest, the Levites, Joseph, Mary, everybody. God revealed himself on that day through the rituals of the temple. Every ritual that took place was about Christ. But to Simeon, God revealed Christ. That is the difference. That is the difference. Because his heart was different. Then there is a woman there. Anna's life is characterized by 3 things. If you read verse 37, of Luke chapter 2, verse
37.
She was somebody who served God or worshipped God, and she prayed and she fasted all her life. Interesting part is, she became a widow after 7 years of marriage. Listen, those days they married very early. To make it simple mathematics,
సింపుల్ బ్యాక్
లెట్ అస్ సే షీ మ్యారీడ్ అట్ ది ఏజ్ ఆఫ్ 17. She's widow at 24. She's 84 years old now. That's what scripture says. 60 years. Fasting, praying, serving God. Paul will write to Timothy, setting the order in the church about widows. Says no one is a widow unless she has nobody to take care of her. Let her not be burdened by the church, be burdened by her. Two, do not consider anybody below 60 as a widow. Three, if she is going to be a widow, taken care of the church, she should have a very good testimony. I tell people very clearly, churches start old age homes and orphanage. If you go by God's rule, half of them should be out. Church will have less burden to preach the gospel. We have to go by the word. By a word given by God to the church through Timothy, Anna is already qualified. She's qualified. 60 years plus, but 60 years she's a widow. Fasting, praying, serving God in the temple. And she's the second one to whom God reveals the Messiah. Why? What is she looking forward to? What is she waiting for? Verse 38 says, what is she waiting for? Those who are waiting for the redemption. Are we waiting for redemption? Are we waiting for redemption? Honestly. That's the key. Most people don't mind if Jesus delays a little more. Very comfortable with their present life. Jesus is not going to come for them. The question asked is this. To Rebecca. Eliezer has come. We realize this is from God. Have you seen Isaac? No. Let's have a party for 7 days. 10 days. Sister, will you go? I will go. When? Tomorrow. Have you seen Isaac? She's ready to go. Whole family is here. Everybody she loves is here. She's going to an unknown land. To a man she has never known. When will you go? Now. That is those who are waiting for redemption. The whole of creation is waiting for redemption. The book of Romans says, Vijay, can you tell me? Romans? Yeah, 8? Yes. All of creation is groaning for its redemption, waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. Because the earth is waiting for its redemption to be a new earth. heavens is waiting for his redemption to become new heavens. But what are they all waiting for? The sons of God to get ready. They are all ready. We are not ready. Because their redemption is connected with our redemption. Did you see? How God has done everything. God says, when you are ready, I will redeem it all. And I will come for those who are ready. That is what God is asking. That is what Anna is waiting for. We all have families. We love our spouse. We love our children. We love our church. We love our friends. All that is fine. We love them as we love ourselves. We love God. All our heart. All our might. All our strength. And if I love God like that, what do I want for myself? I want to be with you. If I love my wife like myself, I am washing her by the water of the word to prepare her to be with me when he comes. That's what Jesus does. That's what we do. We love our neighbor as ourselves. And we don't even understand what does it mean. But that is the second commandment. If we don't understand the first commandment, we will never fulfill the second commandment. The first commandment is this. Love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. And if you love somebody like that, your heart's desire is to be with that person. And then if you love others, your heart's desire is they too be with him. That is Anna. And she could speak the gospel. Reveal the Messiah. Only to those who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. Anna was waiting for the redemption of Israel. And she's been in the temple from the time she's been a widow. So she knows all the regulars in the temple. She knew them. She knew who were playing religion, and he knew those who were waiting for the redemption of Israel. Like Jesus knew his disciples. He had 12 disciples. They were not the same category. There were three who were separate. Peter, John and James. When he had to reveal deep things, he took them alone. He couldn't take the others. Because even among his disciples there was a division. Anna knew the people in the temple. And she knew those who are waiting for the redemption of Israel. To them God could show. Scripture says in 2 Corinthians or 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 22. Anyone who does not love the Lord Jesus Christ that way, let him be cursed. Do you see that? Maranatha means come Lord Jesus. Now you want to understand this? Listen to what Paul will say in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7 and 8. I've fought the good fight. I've kept the I've finished my race course. I've kept my faith. And now I see reserved for me the crown of righteousness. On that day, the God will reveal it to me. Yeah. Not only for me, for all those who are waiting for His appearance. Are we waiting for His appearance? Simeon and Anna were waiting for His appearance. Waiting for their appearance of His first coming. So God revealed His Son to both of them. Now us who are in the age of grace, we are waiting for His second appearance. The question is, how are we waiting? We learn from these two people. Are we waiting for the consolation of Israel? Are we people whom God told Ezekiel, go and mark those who grieve over personal sin and the sins in the church? And when we see the lost people on the streets, we cry out for the redemption of souls. Because when we have this, our life changes. Everything changes. Our perspective changes. We are waiting for the appearance of Jesus Christ. We are preparing ourselves and we are trying to prepare others. Not only are we trying to prepare others as shepherds, we are also trying to see all that we can do in God's strength to see the gospel reaches others who do not know. That's how we wait for Christmas. They waited for Christmas. We are waiting for His second coming. And as I close, I'll tell a very well-known story. Once upon a time, there was a father and a son. They loved paintings. A very rich father and son. And they used to go buy very, very rare paintings. Very expensive. That was the only son. That was the father and son's hobby. And then there was war. And the son had to join the military and go for war. But in the war he died. And one day his friend visited the father. He was a very average painter. And he said, I painted this picture of your son. Father looked at it. It was not a great artwork, it was a simple painting. It was a painting of his son. So he kept it with him. One day the father also died. And his whole estate was up for sale. And all the paintings were going to be auctioned. All the art collectors from the country, from the world came for those paintings. Because they knew these were rare pieces. And the auction started. It started with that simple painting of the son. And people said, move to the others, we are not interested in that. They said, They looked at it and said, we are not interested in that. Start the others. The one who was doing the auction said, the father has left a will. According to the will, this is the first one to be auctioned. Who bids for this? Everybody kept quiet. Hoping somebody will buy it, it will move, then they can start the real auction. That son's friend was sitting there. He was a poor man from the army. He said, I don't have much money. All I have is this much. But I will buy it. I will buy it. So the auctioneer said, first call, anybody more? $10, anybody more? Nobody said $11. Nobody is interested in that. Two, anybody? Three, anybody? He said, gone. He came and took the picture. And then he said, auction is over. They said, what? We are waiting. They said the second clause in the will is whoever takes a son's picture gets everything free. And as I close, I want you to read 1 John chapter 5 verses 11 and 12. 1 John chapter 5 11 and 12. This is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. This life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have
life.
That's what Christmas is about. That's why we proclaim Christ. Because if you don't have Christ, you don't have life. If you have Christ, you have life. That's what Christmas is about. It's not about the tree. It's not about the stars. It's not about the party. It's not about the cake. It's not about any of these things. It is about the Son. He who has the Son has life. We don't have the Son. We don't have life. God says if you love your neighbor, then you want him also to have the Son. Let that be the message of this Christmas. Remember Simeon. Remember Anna. They are not there in any of our Christmas stories. In our Christmas drama, there is no Simeon, there is no Anna. But they are there in God's Christmas story. First two people to whom He revealed His Son. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, this morning we just come to you. We just thank you, Father. This season we want to thank you above all for the gift of your Son. We know we are alive only because we have your Son. We know we have life because we have you, Lord Jesus. And I pray, Father, we will decrease each day and allow you to grow that we may have more of your life. And I pray, Lord, we will not be satisfied and selfish in holding that life. We will want all the others to know and have your life. And I pray, Father, as your servants, you would have the heart of Simeon and the heart of Anna, Lord. We would be righteous. Therefore, we have joy. Yet we are broken over others. So we are also people of sorrow and grief. And we look to you, the consolation of Israel. We look into the world and we see the lost. May I cry out for the redemption this Christmas season, this 12th month. 11 months are over. This 12th month, I pray this 12th month we make ourselves available. Use us more than every other month that has gone by, Lord, for your gospel, for your kingdom, for your purpose, for your joy. Use us, Lord. We are your servants. Reveal your Son in us through your Spirit. Keep on opening our eyes that we may see him as he really is. Because we do not want to know Jesus in the flesh, but in the Spirit, Lord. Bless your servants. Strengthen your servants. Empower your servants. Keep us close to you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We bless your holy name. Bless your holy name. Bless your holy name. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.